I'd like to get your Bibles this morning, if you will, open to the book of Psalms, the 107th Psalm to be exact. If you need a Bible, there's one on the side table. I encourage you to get one to study with us this morning. Psalms 107. This morning we're going to be looking at things which help us to be thankful. We'll begin reading in verse 1. We'll give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness, in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfied the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Our Father in heaven, as we again approach Thy throne of grace this morning, Lord, I pray that we come today with a very thankful, very rejoicing heart for all the goodness, all the many blessings that You continue to bestow upon us. In our most hour of need, You are there. In our greatest triumphs, You are always there. In the greatest mountains, in the lowest valleys, You are there, ever present with us. And Lord, I pray this morning as Your Spirit searches our hearts. Lord, if there's one in our midst who's never trusted in Your Son, Jesus as Savior, Lord, I pray that today is the day of salvation. Lord, then they can truly be thankful and they can bless Thy holy name because they have found Your Son, the Savior. Lord, for we who are saved this morning, Lord, I pray that our hearts are open to receive Your Word, that, Lord, that we truly are have a resolve to be a thankful people. Lord, I pray that You'll watch over the words that I may speak this morning, that they're only the words You would have for us to hear. For it is in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Have you ever considered that the only time that many will give any semblance of thanks unto the Lord is at this time of year that we call Thanksgiving? From the first verse that we read in our text, we see that we are to give thanks unto the Lord. Why? It's because He is good. Because His mercy endureth forever. And this should be at all times. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 34 and 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that means whatever the situation is, good days, bad days, my praise should always be in my mouth. And one of the things we find that the writer of Hebrews wrote in Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Verse 16 of that text, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with sacrifices God is well pleased. For many, Thanksgiving Day will be just another day to eat, watch some sporting event, and that'll be it. And if there is a time that they even bow their heads in prayer to thank the Lord for all He has blessed with them, it will be a very short statement, thank you God for this bountiful blessing, let's eat. That'll be about the extent of it. But the question must be asked, will that be you? Will it be me? Or will we offer up thanksgiving unto our Lord because of His bountiful blessings? As I stated earlier in our opening, is that we should be a thankful people. day in, day out, every day praising God for what He's done. But this is a heightened time. This time that we call Thanksgiving, that we will set aside this coming Thursday, is a time to get together with family and friends and loved ones just to show forth. But it should not be the only time that we ever thank God for all that He's done. When was the last time that you paused to reflect on what you were truly thankful for? If I were to go around this room this morning and ask each of you what you're thankful for, I'm sure that I'd get a variety of answers. Some may even surprise you what you're thankful for. But there could be some here today, and I pray there's not, but there could be someone here today that says, I have nothing to be thankful for. I have nothing. But you know that more and more in our society, there's a lot of people that have gone to that place. I have nothing to be thankful for. And sadly, there are those who feel they have nothing to be thankful for because they have not considered what they have. They haven't considered the blessings that they have and what God has given to them. And I'm talking about people who call themselves children of God. I'm not talking about unsaved people. I'm talking about people who have professed that they know Christ as Savior. And in fact, where they get themselves into is because they, and I'll mention this further in the message, is that we look at what we don't have as opposed to what we do have, what God has given us. And in fact, I would say that ingratitude and being unthankful are really natural attitudes of human beings. By nature, we are ingrates. By nature, we are unthankful. That's just by nature. It's a part of our very being. In fact, I read a story some time ago about a man. Is that there? In fact, this was an actual shipwreck that happened in Lake Michigan. This was many years ago, and there was a man that was a very powerful swimmer who was then a student of Northwestern University. He rescued 23 people before he finally collapsed. And some years after, in Los Angeles, there was a man that was giving a speech that was there before this group of people, and he related this story about this young man and his concern for the people that were drowning or going to drown and the heroic deed that this young man did. And to his astonishment, he found that the actual man who had been a young man was actually sitting in the audience, now an older man. And after he found that out, he went and talked to this rescuer, and he asked him, what was the most significant thing about the rescue? The thing that really stood out the most in his memory after all the intervening years. And the rescuer dropped his eyes and in a very low voice said, not one said thanks. Not one said thanks. You know, that's part of oftentimes of the ingratitude that we as human beings have, and I believe it really characterizes many of us today and it could be saved people and unsaved people. In fact, Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, he says there in verse 1, it says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And he says, from such turn away. In other words, the thing is as we see the day approaching and when the Lord's return, is that I believe that more and more people are going to show forth unthankfulness and ingratitude. It is because they have turned to look upon themselves, what they have or what they have not, and as a result, they have stopped giving thanks to God. I want to define a couple of words this morning. The word grateful. What does it mean? It means appreciative of benefits received. And it means actually taking the effort to express gratitude. Thankful. That word means feeling or expressing gratitude. And it means thankful may apply to a more generalized acknowledgement of what is vaguely felt to be providential. Now, in other words, what I'm saying about thankful is that we have this this mindset of thanksgiving, irrespective of what we may receive. Now, again, if we judge our thankfulness by what we're getting, I will tell you, there's going to be some many lonely and dreary days. If all your thanksgiving is about what you're getting, about what you perceive as being blessings of God. One other word, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the act of giving thanks, the prayer expressing gratitude. It's a public acknowledgement, a celebration of divine goodness. And the psalmist wrote in Psalms 107:1 again, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Since we are unthankful by nature, God has given us some things to help us to be thankful with. And I think that sometimes we need to study God's Word so that we can learn to be thankful because, you know, it's just like this. Praying. Is it a natural thing for us to do? My answer and response is no, it's got to be taught. How do I know it's got to be taught? It's because of the fact, you remember when the ones that had walked around Jesus, they had heard a lot about praying. They had heard a lot. They had seen men praying. The disciples had seen, Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees had offered up prayer. But one of the things that they had done is that they had also seen Jesus praying, and His praying was much different than what they had observed with the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees. And what did they say? "Lord, teach us how to properly pray." And that's what He taught them. We have the model prayer that we have recorded in Matthew and in Luke. And so what we find is that because we are by nature unthankful people, by nature, you know, one of the things is that as you were training up your children, as you were training up your children and you would go to some place and somebody would do something nice for them, what was it that oftentimes that you had to say to that child? What do you say? Thank you. We had to teach our children. I was taught that as a child, that we need to be able to appreciate and actually to vocalize and to state thank you. Sometimes I know that some of our kids will look at us and say, "All right, thank you." That wasn't a heart of gratitude. That was a heart of, "Well, if I got to do it," attitude. But you know, after a while, as you start to grow, and as a child of God, as you start to see the Lord working, thank you, Lord, should be one of the most easiest things that come out of our lips. You know, there's a song that we sang, "Thank You, Lord." Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. That ought to be something that comes off of every child of God's heart, day in and day out. Some things to be thankful for. You know, one of the things that when we are Spirit-filled, the result is thankfulness. In fact, if you will, for just a moment, turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read a couple of verses out of here. So when we're Spirit-filled, the result is thankfulness. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." So what do we find in these verses? Is that we find the command in verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This was the command, be filled with the Spirit. And notice the consequence, if you will. The consequence, the result, if you will, is as we read there in verse 19, is as a result that when you are thankful, you can then be able to sing and make melody in your heart unto God because you've been filled with the Spirit of God. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 95, verse 1, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." How is it that oftentimes we come to services and we come to service with a spirit of ingratitude? We come to service with an unthankful heart. Sometimes we come to service and we have this idea, I've got to be here because it's my duty. I'll tell you, when you turn that thought around, you say, I'm here because I want to be here. I want to see you. I want to worship God today. I want to thank Him together in this corporate setting as this congregation, this church. We want to thank Him as this body because why? We want to give praise unto Him, not with just our lips, but with our hearts. Think about this. Whether you start praising God now, you will be praising God when you get to heaven. In fact, we find a revelation. John writing there in Revelation chapter 7, verse 11, it says that all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell about the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. I want to be in on that chorus. I want to be in on part of that. But you see, I'm not going to wait till I get there. We want to praise Him today. One of the things I find also in those verses there in Ephesians that we were just reading is that we were able, as a result of being filled with the Spirit of God, having the Spirit of God work within us, we're able to speak to ourselves, to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. I will tell you, if you allow the Spirit of God to fill you, you will look at an individual differently than if you're only looking through them with your own eyes. When you're looking through the Spirit of God and His working in our lives, we will be able to sing together. We will be able to express ourselves together in love and in care. And then as verse 20 says, that we will also have words of thanksgiving. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because we have done what? We have allowed His Spirit to fill us, and as a result, the consequence, we are able to do so much more in our service unto Christ and in this church setting, if you will. Second thing I want to mention is that when we're filled with the Word of God, so we talked about being filled with the Spirit of God, how about if we're filled with the Word of God? The results are also thankfulness. Turn, if you will, we're going to be looking through some scriptures this morning. Turn, if you will, to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 16 and 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. For it states, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So the command that we have, the command is that when we're to be filled with the Spirit of God, or with the Word of God, and that is verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the Word of God dwell in us richly. In other words, we've got to let it sink in. We've got to meditate it. You see, oftentimes I think we just blow right by when it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Well, we'll just blow right through those words. Study to show thyself. What does that mean? It means I've read it, I know it. No, it doesn't. Study means I read it, I pray about it, I meditate upon it, I let it sink deep into my heart so that I may be able to show thyself a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, I've let it come into my heart. I've let it sink deep into my heart so that then I can use it. Why do I need to use it? Well, I will tell you, we all need the Word of God in our hearts daily because I will tell you, Satan comes at us from all angles. In fact, one of the things I find the psalmist also wrote in Psalms 119:11, Thy Word have I hid in my heart. Why, you might ask, why have I hid the Word of my heart? That I might not sin against Thee. I've hid it in my heart. That I might not sin. You say, what does that mean? I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin. Because when sin presents itself, temptation presents itself. You see, it's not sin until you succumb to the temptation. That's when sin sets in. When I give myself and surrender myself, I submit myself to whatever the temptation is, the lust, whatever Satan is throwing at it, then I have sinned. I have committed a sin when I give in to the temptation. The temptation itself is not the sin. It is when I surrender to it. I give to it. When we have the Word of God kept in our hearts, hidden in our hearts, then the consequence of that is I'm able to see sin for what it truly is. I am able to see temptation for what it truly is. Then I start to understand when it says that the devil, that Satan, that dragon, he walks about seeking whom he may devour. Because he desires to do what? To sift us like wheat. And do you realize that word desire, when Jesus was telling Peter this and the other apostles and that were there as they were being discipled, when he said, Satan desires to sift you like wheat, that word means he demands. It's not a request. It is a demand that he comes before the Lord and he demands for an opportunity to sift us. Are you really the wheat or are you the chaff? It's like putting you into that blender, if you will, and we're going to see what comes out. Is it truly you're going to stand for the truth? Or are you going to be like the chaff in your faith and blown away? Are you a person of faith? Or are you the chaff that's just going to be blown away as that husk is separated from the grain? Are you the grain? Are you the chaff? He demands to sift us. And how he does that is he puts temptation in front of us. Why? So that we might sin. The command is hide the Word of God in our hearts. Why? So that we may not sin. We may not be tempted. Even though we're tempted, we don't succumb to it. But the consequence that we see as a result of reading in Colossians 3 is that so that we may, as we learn the Word of God, that we may be able to teach the Word of God. We may be able to admonish with the Word of God. In other words, that word admonish means that we need to warn, we need to instruct one another. And again, what will come as a result? Thanksgiving with obedience. These are the consequences when we are filled with the Word of God. The result is thankfulness. And I will tell you, the more that you study God's Word, the more that you hold God's Word in your thought, in your mind, in your heart, there are going to be times that you're not going to have your Bible with you. There are going to be times that you're going to have someone that's going to come in front of you. They may be, and so I'll give you a couple scenarios. There may be times that there's a confrontation. How do I settle that? Well, you know, we always have this statement. You wear this bracelet on your hand that says, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And you stand there and you say, I don't know what would Jesus do. I don't know what he'd do in this situation. You know why I don't know what he'd do in this situation? Because I haven't read his word. So I have nothing to work from. I've got the bracelet though. WWJD. What would he do? I don't know what he'd do because I don't know his word. But I will tell you that when you start to learn the word of God and you start to let it sink within your hearts, then when a situation presents itself and you say, what would the Lord do in this case? His word says this. And if his word says this, that's what he would do. Because his word does not change. And his word does not fail. So the consequence of being filled with it is the result is thankfulness. Why? It's because thank you, Lord, that you gave me the remembrance of what you've taught me in your word. Giving thanks to God and by him. When the peace of God rules your heart, you're in Colossians 3, you're in verse 16, back up to verse 15, when the peace of God rules our hearts, the result again will be thanksgiving. Look at verse 3, or chapter 3, 15 of Colossians. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also are called. You're called in one body and be thankful. What's the command? Well, it says, let the rule come. Rule means to be in this rule here. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The word rule, it means to be an arbiter in public games. Now, we go to games, right? I shared with you that I had gone hunting this last week. And 10 minutes before it was time that we could shoot, we could only shoot at certain times during the day, meaning half hour before sunrise, all during the day until a half an hour after sunset. That is your window. Lo and behold, this big buck, six-point buck, showed up 10 minutes before we could go hunting, before we could actually pull a trigger. And you could say, well, who's going to know? God would know. 10 minutes before, showed up. I could not pull the trigger. And he decided to go off all into the woods, missed an opportunity. But you see, I really never had the opportunity because it was not legal at that time. By the same token, in the evening, I got the last deer that we shot, that I shot that evening. I was watching the clock. That half hour after would have been 5:38. I shot the last one at 5:30. 8 minutes to go, and then it was over. You see, there are rules. And when we have rules, and God gives us rules, is that when He gives us those rules, He says when we let His Word become the rule in our lives, that arbiter in our lives, then as a result, then we can have peace with God. You see, when we try to go outside the rules, when we start to try to go outside God's Word in our lives, then what are we doing? We're always looking back and saying, wait a minute, I'm trying to hide it. I want to have peace. I broke the rule, I understand it, but you're always trying to do what? Trying to figure out how to make it right when you broke the rule. When we let the peace of God work within our hearts, and we follow His words, and we let it rule in our hearts, then what ends up happening? So when the Word of God rules in our heart, we have the peace of God ruling in our heart, then we can be a thankful people. Because we know we have what? Peace with the Lord. You know, one of the things about this peace, it said, the psalmist wrote this in Psalms 119 and 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I will tell you, there's a lot of laws that I don't like, but they're there for a reason. A lot of laws I don't like, but they're there for a reason. There's a lot of things from God's Word that if we would just say as an example, boy, if you just didn't have that there, that our lives would be so much simpler. God, do you really need to have that rule? Do you really need to have that? You know, and you'd realize is that what we often look at? We look at the do's and the don'ts. In fact, a couple Wednesday nights ago, I mentioned this in our Wednesday night Bible study, is that oftentimes we get so hung up on the do's and the don'ts is we forget about the benefits. We forget about the principles. Why did God give us the do's and the don'ts? Why did God give us the commands? The do this, don't do that. Why did He give those? We often look at those as the don'ts, if you will, is that those are obstructions. But if I can only do those, I can do so much more. The Lord gave us the clarity in His Word why we shouldn't do certain things. For this reason, because He loves us. You see, we learn behind it the benefit. If you don't do this, whatever this is, by His Word, don't do this. But think about this. Thou shalt not lie. Well, what's wrong with telling a little lie? There isn't a little lie. But it's a little white lie. There is no such thing as a little white lie. It is a lie. If you hadn't have told the lie, you just told the truth, what would the result be? Peace. Because I knew I told the truth. If I told the lie, then what is the result? Then I've got to worry about who I told the lie to, and I've got to keep making sure that I keep my story straight. And I've always got to worry about, did I tell somebody differently or tell them a different lie? Thou shalt not lie so that you might have peace. That's the benefit behind it. Because why? Because when we look behind who gave the law, who gave the rule, is that we know that we find God was behind the benefit, behind the law or the commandment. And you see, when we look at that, is what then we can say, now I understand more about You and Lord, and as a result, I can be thankful. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. When we are prayerful, the result is going to be thanksgiving. You're in Colossians. Turn over to Philippians for just a moment. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And look at verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Now I will tell you right now, this is a commandment that we're supposed to be redoing. Always is rejoice in the Lord. And sometimes it's difficult. But it goes on to say, and again I say, rejoice, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So the command is, be careful or anxious for nothing. Be careful. Don't worry, verse 6 there. Be careful for nothing. In fact, Jesus said there in the Sermon on the Mount, as He says in Matthew 6:25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. nor yet for your body. What you shall put on, is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? In other words, that we're to be not to be worrisome. We're not to be worrisome about what we are. We're to be prayerful about what we have and what we need. You know, in the model prayer, it says we're to do what? Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. The thing is that are we thankful for what the Lord has put on our table? There have been times when I was growing up that maybe we only had cornbread and beans. But I'll tell you, that was a good meal. Meatless meal. Cornbread and beans. Love that. But there were other times that we might have had, you know, a good roasted chicken, good barbecue chicken, a steak off the grill. And you see, that might have been looked upon as better than cornbread and beans. I will argue sometimes, might not have been. Depends on who's cooking it. But my point is this, is that when you look at it and we're thankful, we're in prayerful, thanking God for what He's given us, is that as a result, the conditions of prayers, that in everything, by prayer and supplication, or meaning the petition, the earnest request, that we can then have thanksgiving because we know that God has given us our needs and our desires. You know, one of the things why we're so unthankful at times in our prayer, Lord, I'm coming to You because I need this new vehicle. Now, you know, I was just down on the showroom floor the other day, and I saw this $50,000 vehicle that was sitting down there. I can't afford it. I can only afford the one that's $25,000, but I saw this $50,000 one down there, and Lord, I just know You want me to have it. You just want me to have that. I will look so good in it. I mean, it's got all the bells and whistles on it. It does everything but drive itself. That's coming, but it does everything today but drive itself. It'll even back itself up, though. Can't go forward by itself, but it'll back itself up. It can park itself. Oh, God, I need this, and I'm praying unto You. But You don't have the money to afford that. Oh, but Lord, I just can't be thankful unless I get that $50,000 vehicle. But what you can't afford, and what's in My will, is for you to get this $25,000 one. You can back it up yourself and drive it forward. It's got all the seats that you need in it to carry your family and possibly someone else to church. But Lord, I'd be so much more thankful over there. But You can't afford that over there. You see, when our desires get into the will of God's, what He wants for us to have, I look at that $25,000 one and say, you know what? Thank You, Lord. It'll serve every purpose I need. It'll take care of all of my needs. Everything I need to do, it will work. And you see, when it's in, and you know the other thing is, I can afford that one. You will take care of, give us this day our daily bread. You see, if I go and buy that $50,000 one, I'm not going to have food on my table. I'm not going to be able to afford my mortgage or my rent. It's because I'm going to spend all my money paying for that $50,000 vehicle. Whereas if I had the $25,000 one, I could still put food on my table, pay my mortgage or rent, and take care of some clothes on my children's back. You see, when our will is in accordance with the will of God. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, God could bless you with that $50,000 one. Don't get me wrong. Because there are times that God will take care of the desires of your heart. But you see, first and foremost, is you want to be in the will of God that your needs are being taken care of. I know your needs. Come and ask Me, and we'll talk about those. That's what He says in Matthew. Come before Me. And when we're prayerful, Lord, is this in Your will? Then what we will have is thanksgiving because we will see that things are being provided for. Have you ever taken the opportunity to thank God for stretching your dollar? Have you ever taken time to thank God for stretching your dollar? You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor, by thanking God for stretching my dollar? I will tell you, is that when gasoline was right at $4 a gallon, it hurt. Because every time I had to put a gallon of gas at $4 a gallon into my vehicle, there were a lot of other things that I could not do. And you can attest to the same things. Because if you're putting 20 gallons in your tank, That's $80. You do the math. But now, what is it? Went to the gas station yesterday. It was under $2. Cut in half. The Lord stretched our dollars. The Lord stretched our dollars. What would have cost me 80 is now costing me 40. You see, when we start looking at that, we praise God. God, you put more money back into my pocket. Why? To take care of my family. That's just one example. Your refrigerator breaks down. You go into the store and you find is that they've got on sale the refrigerator. You say, I'm coming in penniless. And they say, well, you know what? I tell you what. We have a plan today that if you'll buy the refrigerator, we will give you 12 months to pay it off with no interest. Now, if you wait till after 12 months in one day, you're going to pay all that interest. But if you pay it in 12 months, and you go and you say, you know what? I look at the cost. I can afford that extra so much a month. 12 months, I can pay it off. The Lord just stretched your dollar. Just took care of your needs. You say, well, we're in a prayerful attitude that, and we see how God works in our lives. I will tell you, the results will be thanksgiving. And when we're in the will of God, building on what we just talked about, when we're in the will of God, I will tell you, we'll be a thankful people. Do you realize that it's one of these things when you come to the Lord and you bring your petitions, you bring your supplication, you bring your whatever it is that you're bringing for the Lord, and He answers that prayer, and you say, Lord, and you just have this warmth about you. You just have this peace about you. I know this was in the keeping of your will that I asked you for this, or asked you to help me solve this. I asked you to give me guidance on this issue. I asked you to open the door for this job, whatever this job may be, and you open that door, and you know it's in His will. As I will tell you, is that as a result, there is great thanksgiving. And that's why when Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica, he said there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 and 8 through 18, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So in everything, we're to give thanks unto the Lord. We're to give thanks. When we enter into the sanctuary, we're to give thanks. Praise God we are able to be here. Yes, it snowed yesterday. It's cold today. But praise God our cars are running. Praise God we are able to get into our vehicle. Praise God we are able to navigate the roads. Praise God we are able to come together. Praise God we are able to come here today and praise His holy name. And we should be a people that are rejoicing, a people that are in great thanksgiving. But I have to ask you this morning, is that, you know, God has given us some things as we've talked about in His Word. He has given us things that are to help us to be, to understand how to be thankful, but are we? Remember what I said at the beginning of the message? We are ingratitude people by nature. We are unthankful people by nature. But you know what He's given us to help us to be thankful? He's given us His Spirit to fill us. He's given His Word to be in our hearts. He's given His peace to rule our hearts. We can pray with thanksgiving. And we can know the will of God, and it too will cause us to be thankful. But you see, one of the things is, if you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior though, right now, the only thankfulness that you're ever going to have is the things that you get. I'm thankful because I got this or I got that. I was able to go to this place. I was able to attend this, maybe a sporting event. My team won, I'm thankful. Whatever it may be. But you see, your thankfulness is going to be very short-lived. As a child of God, though, our thankfulness is a building block. Today, I'm thankful for what He's done for me today. That builds upon tomorrow. I'm thankful for what He did today. That builds on I'm thankful for what He did for me yesterday. I'm thankful because I see Him permeating my life. I see the transformation that's coming. And without Christ as your Savior, you have very little to be thankful. And I will tell you, the only thing that you're going to have to be thankful for is what you have today. Because I will tell you is that if you die in your unbelief, if you die without Christ, is that you will have no thankfulness and no thanksgiving when you are spending an eternity separated from God in hell. There will be no thanksgiving. All there will be is anguish and torment and pain. There will be no thanksgiving. I have to look at, you know, we look at two men. We look at two men, the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man had all the things of this world that he could ever ask for. Lazarus, sick, had sores upon him. He ate the crumbs from the rich man's table. He was a man, the rich man, I'm sure, berated Lazarus. He was the one that didn't care about Lazarus. And Lazarus, one thing that he learned that he cared about is he found a relationship with Jesus Christ. Even though that his condition didn't change, he was still a man that had sores. He was still a man that was afflicted by his body. He still knew his Savior. Both of these men died. Both of them. One, the poor man, Lazarus, was carried into Abraham's bosom. And he had much thanksgiving. I will tell you, I'm sure that he was rejoicing while he was, even though he was in the condition he was in, because he was able to get the crumbs to eat. It sustained his life. But he died rejoicing because he woke up in Abraham's bosom. The rich man who had his thankfulness and all his bounty, all his treasure, everything he had, all the comforts of this life, he died also. And it says that he woke up in torment. Torment. In the sense of burning, in the sense that he could not get any relief. Asking Abraham, because he could see him afar off, ask him, oh, just send Lazarus over here so that he may just dip his finger in a cool drop of water. Let it come on my tongue that it may quench my torment. No, Lazarus cannot come to you and you can't come to Lazarus. There's this gulf that's fixed, permanently, eternally fixed, that you can't come one to the other. The rich man had nothing to be thankful for. Lazarus had everything to be thankful for because he is resting. Because while he was living, he trusted in Jesus. Do you know Christ as your Savior this morning? Because you see, if you don't, we invite you to trust Jesus. But you see, if you are a child of God, I'll ask you back in our text that we opened with, are you a person of Psalm 107? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hunger and thirsty, their soul fainted to them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that the men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Are you truly, as a child of God, a thankful person? I can't answer that for you. And you can't answer that for me. But you see, when we let the Spirit of God fill our hearts, we let the Word of God come into our hearts and be within us, and we let the peace of God rule our lives, I will tell you, we'll have a whole changed disposition. We will move from a state of ingratitude and unthankfulness to a state of gratitude and thankfulness. Because you see, what will happen is that there will be a transformation that will take place. That's why it says, let your salvation work out of you. Let your salvation work out your own salvation. Meaning, let the Word of God, let the Spirit of God work out of you, out of your life. Why? So that you will be a thankful person. So that you'll be a grateful person. Because you know, in the near future, I don't know how many years from now, could be tomorrow, could be the next day, could be 60 years from now, but in the near future, if you're on the 120-year plan and you're 60 years of age, it could be another 60 years. But one day, I'm going to be before my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And one day, I'm going to be able to look at Him and just thank Him for saving my soul. Doesn't mean I don't do it now. But I'm going to be able to see Him with my own face. I'm going to be able to look Him in His face. Because you see, sin will no longer be there. The flesh will no longer be there. And I will be able to thank Him personally, face to face. I will be able to see Him and say, thank You for saving my soul. You see, that is what should drive us to be a thankful people. That should drive us to be a grateful people. That should be what drives us to be caring for our brothers and sisters in Christ. That should be what drives us to look at someone else and say, you know what? I found Jesus. I want you to know Him today also. That should be what is paramount, because I want you to be where I'm going to be with Jesus. Whatever your heart's need is this morning, we invite you to turn to Jesus, whether it's in greater thanksgiving or it is coming to Christ and trusting in Him. Let us stand as the musicians come for a hymn of invitation this morning. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study, we just thank You so much for what Your Word has taught us this morning. And Lord, I pray that it's impressed upon our hearts the need to be thankful. But Lord, it's not a word statement. It's something that comes from our hearts. Your presence. You living within us. And Lord, if there's one in our midst who's never trusted in Your Son, Jesus, as Savior, Lord, we invite them today to trust in Your Son. Maybe there's other decisions. Maybe it's baptism. Maybe it's uniting with this assembly. Maybe it's just surrendering our lives to a greater service unto You. Lord, for that's where the peace, Your peace, dwells, when we are obedient unto Your leadership and Your guidance and direction. Lord, may we respond to You today from our hearts. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.